It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am so excited this week to be joined once again by Ian Kay.
Hi, guys.
And Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
So before we get started, I just have to say big shout out to Orbit, mascot of the Astros and listener of the Cut Forecast. We appreciate you listening. You tweeted at Gemma this week, isn't that right?
Yes, yes. Orbit and I are Twitter friends now.
Yeah, what do you have to say?
He was excited that I picked him for my mascot team. And after you guys gave me some business about
okay.
it, too.
Okay,
so...
not give you business about Orbit in general. We simply thought it was maybe a cliche pick.
We all agree that Orbit is the best.
He is the best.
Yes.
It's a very
Thank
good
you.
Mascot.
Thank you for listening, Orbit. We appreciate
it. I'm really glad that you are happy about being on my mascot team. I'm very happy to have you.
Gemma, are you going to make the transition with Orbit from Twitter friends to real life
friends? I would. If Orbit wants to come here, we already discussed getting cannolis. We're going to do it.
We know you've done that before.
You've
made the transition to IRL.
We'll hang out. It's fine.
I know. Well, yeah. We give shout outs to our listeners. And that's why we felt the need to do that. Unfortunately, Mrs. Met did not tweet at you.
No, she did not.
Mrs. Met, we need you to really
You
like,
actually
step
live
up.
In the city too.
Yeah,
Mrs.
for real.
Met, so we can be friends.
Yeah, she lives in Queens.
Yeah.
So
and I mean
you're close.
Yeah, I'm in Bushwick. That's
yeah,
pretty close.
You're near, yeah. So Mrs. Met.
I don't really expect Hank to tweet at me because I feel like that would be really hard for him.
That's true with the pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, Orbit. We appreciate your listenership. As we appreciate all of you listening to the Cut Forecast this week. We have a lot to get through, and we have slightly less time to get through it because Ian, I believe, where are you heading this weekend?
I'm just going out of town, Dakota.
Oh yeah, anywhere interesting?
Nah, just the beach. Just
oh okay, beach. Which beach? New York maybe somewhere?
Yeah, you know we don't have to get into real specifics about it.
Could it possibly be the Hamptons?
Dakota, I just have to leave early.
Yeah, Ian's leaving us to go be rich and fancy.
That's not what this is about.
This weekend.
Just...
But and be part of the Scandal crew. I think that's...
Revenge.
That's what
Revenge.
It is.
That's what it is. Revenge.
Yeah, Scandal's in DC. Come on.
Sorry.
Get it together.
I know. I'm not good with my pop culture one-word TV show. But we got a lot to get to. We're going to talk a little bit about some baseball cards today, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We haven't really discussed... one of the most omnipresent pieces of baseball memorabilia, the baseball cards. We're also going to talk a little bit about some cross-sport BFFs that we kind of hope exist, or at the very least may exist, or we're going to try to put these people in touch because we think it should happen. But before we get to all of that, today, I think it was today, you may be listening to this at a different time, but we recently produced a list of Mike Bertha, Cut 4 writer, made his list of the best walk-up songs in baseball right now. It's a great list. If you go to mlb.com/cut4, you can read that. There's some fantastic choices on there. Some Taylor Swift for you, if you like Taylor Swift. Who else is on there? I think...
Genuine.
For sure.
Joey Gallo. Fantastic. So make sure to go there and check that out. But we were wondering, walk-up songs for hitters and for pitchers when they come in from the bullpen, those are... quintessential parts of the ballpark going experience, I think, and parts of being a professional baseball player. But so as director Martin Scorsese has showed us over time, so many things are better when they're set to music. And, you know, usually Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones when it's Martin Scorsese, but it really works with any kind of music. What I'm going to put this question to you two, Ian and Gemma. What other parts of a baseball game do you think should be set to music? What other baseball happenings deserve the same level of musical treatment as our a batter's entrance? Ian, why don't we start with you?
Sure.
Since you're heading out to the fancy Hamptons.
I'm heading out. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the best part of any awards show? The answer, you don't have to answer that. I'll answer it. It was a rhetorical question, which I'll answer for you now. I'll tell you what the best part of any award show is. It's when some guy who nobody knows gets up on stage and overstays his welcome,
mm-hmm.
and they start playing the music. He gets played off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think in baseball, when a starting pitcher has overstayed his welcome, he should get played off by whatever reliever is warming up by his music. So, like, picture, you know, it's... CC Sabathia is like laboring out there, and there's a man on base, and he can't find the zone, and Dellin Betances is in the bullpen, and like as he starts throwing, his music starts playing, like, and it slowly gets louder and louder, and like as CC allows more men on base, and as Betances is closer and closer to being ready, the music is just blaring to the point where Joe Girardi has no choice but to come out of the dugout. Because, like, nobody in the stadium can even hear anything. It's so obvious that he needs to make a move.
Interesting. So, essentially, what you're suggesting is that we take bullpen management out of the hands of the managers and give it to the people who really should be making these decisions, the PA folks.
I think it's more of a joint. It's more of a joint situation.
Okay. I see. All right. Yeah, okay. I think that's a good idea. I also like that. The idea of Joe Girardi, like, having a CD player in the dugout and he sort of puts it in as opposed to making the phone call.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, oh, okay.
I like that too.
Yeah, that's a
good
idea.
Like a boombox. It's a like playing a song. Like plugged into.
He's got it on his shoulder.
Yeah. He'll like, you know, he takes the subway to work. Yeah. He's got this, yeah.
It may just, maybe it's just objectively based on whether the reliever is fully ready to come in or not.
Okay.
So, like, once he's ready, then his music is full volume, and whether the manager makes a move or not, that's his decision. But it's, you know, just so he knows.
Or, like, the volume comes up every time there's, like, a hit or a ball.
Okay, mm-hmm.
And
sure.
Like, set, like, rules of, you know, this is maybe collectively bargained, where we set rules of, okay, if it's, you know, if it's a walk, then it goes up 2 decibels if it's, what you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, this is definitely working.
Actually, I think this is a good idea. This is pretty
play
good.
Him
good.
Play him off.
Play him off. We're taking everybody's favorite part of the award shows, which is people getting played off.
That's my favorite part.
My favorite part, Gem and I were actually talking about this earlier, are the incredible jokes that these celebrities tell.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We all know that's the best part. Shout out to Bruce Valanche, who writes most of those jokes. Okay, Gemma.
Hopefully a Cut 4 Cast
listener. Yeah, listener
Bruce Valanche.
Yeah.
Tweet at Dakota. Let him know that.
Indeed. That I appreciate I appreciate your humor, and I appreciate your listening, Bruce. Gemma, what do you have? What is your idea to set? What part of baseball do you think should be set to music?
Well, I guess this is a little bit of an easy shot, because I was thinking about what I like about walk-up songs, and just, you know, then I'm tired, so it went off on this whole trail of what music things I enjoy. So, you know, the visiting team doesn't get to have walk-up music. When they most of the time
they don't
sometimes
get to pick it.
They don't get to pick it. Sometimes they get organ music. It depends. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be kind of fun if the home team got to pick all of their walk-up music. But since whenever you go to another stadium, you don't get to choose your own stuff. You wouldn't want to pick anything too terrible, you know. And it'd be kind of like making a fun mixtape for the other team.
I see. Yeah. So like, do you think of it as the manager picks it for everybody, or like each player picks their counterpart on the other team?
Yes, I think it's like that. Okay. You get to pick your counterpart on the lineup's song.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes like what teams will do is they'll troll people with like embarrassing songs before they're at bat. But I like the idea of connecting it to the roster. Like,
it's kind of like a walk-up music Secret Santa.
Oh.
Oh.
That is nice. Well, that's way more positive than anything that the rest of us are suggesting. But I like that idea. I think that's a good idea.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Dakota.
That also would probably need to be collectively bargained, I think.
Yeah, so, probably. You
know, mixtapes, definitely a collectively bargained issue.
We'd also have to worry about, you know, rights and making sure that we're all kosher on all of that. My idea, so I cheated. I have three, but I'm gonna narrow it down to one.
Tell us all of your ideas. The first, I only had one, and that was over.
Okay.
Now.
Well, so the managers don't get walk-up songs, right? So I feel like they deserve to have the opportunity to express themselves musically. But unfortunately, they don't really have a time to do it when you think about it, really. Because like when they're going out to put in a new pitcher, usually you get the pitcher's walk-in song or whatever it is. I was thinking that like for the manager, when they exchange lineup cards, the home team manager gets to pick the song that plays there. But, you know, then I kind of threw that idea away.
Oh,
judging by your silence.
He's sneaking in other ideas. I see how this works.
Judging by your silence, I threw that one away. And then I thought, but really, I had a second one of home run music, where each player gets to pick their own home run music. But again, it seems kind of cliche. So I'm going to pitch that one away. I've settled on one that I like a lot, which is when a manager initiates a replay review, they have a song that plays. So you can do like something maybe introspective. You can do something that like pumps up the crowd that, you know, maybe is like going to try to sway. They're so loud that they sway the umpires in New York. just any kind of thing where like maybe they seem more contemplative. I don't know what it is, but they get the choice in the music that plays. Because right now I feel like it's probably, you know, the Jeopardy theme or all that kind of stuff. But I think this is a good opportunity for managerial, I don't know what the word is, maybe managerial expression. What do you guys think? Again, judging by your silence, you seem really enthused.
Well, it was hard for me to pick between all of the ideas you just threw out, Dakota.
Yeah. Well,
I do like this idea. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it could be, you know, it could definitely sway people's point of view and get fans like angrier or ready to accept whatever decision.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I feel like you want to try to sway the umpires in New York as best you can. And I feel like just getting, you know, into the heads somehow. Like, they have to hear the music when they're talking to the umpires, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
the tone of voice. Like, his voice tone changes because
exactly.
of what he's thinking.
And like, you can hear it maybe in the background of, like, the headset, because you know they have the headsets they put on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm thinking.
That's a good idea.
What kind of songs would sway people one way or the other?
I don't even know. Maybe, like, Beyonce.
Give me Shelter.
Give me Shelter.
Yeah, either way,
we'll
no matter what.
We'll put Martin Scorsese as the manager. No, I was thinking, like, Beyonce, because, like, you can't not like Beyonce, legally.
So that would just, like, put you in a good mood? And then you'd want to...
Well, no, let's say you don't want the call to be overturned. Because, like, let's say the home manager gets to, like, say it. So if there's a challenge, it's the home manager gets to pick. So, like, if you don't want it to be overturned, you play mm-hmm. Beyonce. Because then everybody's going to be in such a good mood and legally required to like it that they're not going to overturn the call.
Did you go with, like...
But what if you do want the call overturned?
Then maybe, like, Rage Against the Machine. It's like sort of counterculture
songs that like sit the word safer out in them.
Oh,
that's good.
Like Billy Joel Moving Out.
Ooh, uh-huh. That's good.
Yeah, and that is really good. I like this.
The ump's hearing out over and over again.
That's a good mm-hmm. idea.
And it's just in his brain, and then you get the call you want.
I think
that's
really
way better
I
than
think
my
that's
idea.
Great. Now this is building ideas. This is how this works. This is a think tank.
This is like, this,
now,
yes,
is it?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
we're gonna put together
a cut for think tank.
We're gonna put together a policy paper and we'll submit it
yes.
to the commission.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how think.
Maybe a white paper. I don't know what those are.
I don't know what that is either. But sure.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yes.
It's a thing that businesses do. I
and
think.
Also political organizations.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All I know are blue books from like college exams. Did you never have to do that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It's also where they keep the car values.
That's true. Yeah. It's a good sponsorship opportunity there.
Could be.
For
could be.
Teams to, you know, have their blue book.
Yes.
We've gone totally off the rails.
NGO. I'm just saying terms.
This is all we've now exhausted all that we know about the American political system here on Cut 4, which I think is as good.
I majored in public policy and I've exhausted all that I know at this point.
I almost majored in government and then
did you major in Dakota? Why don't you get it in?
Theater. That's right. Thank you for that.
We're now on a streak.
Let's move on from this topic, even though I think it was a truly engaging topic.
This was productive.
Brought up important themes.
Yeah, we made some good decisions.
In society. Mm-hmm. We're now going to move on to the baseball cards, because who doesn't love baseball cards?
Everybody.
We all
loves baseball cards.
There you go. Yeah.
Was that another rhetorical question?
That was a rhetorical question that you ruined. Thank you for that. But this is the crux of this question, is that baseball cards are... so old, they've been around forever, and that's part of what makes it so exciting, is that it's this like little cardboard piece of baseball history. Even the new ones that come out now, they still are connected through history to the ones that have been printed forever. And when you look at the stats on the back, for the most part, they haven't really changed. The stats and info, it's normally, you know, height, weight, position, average, RBIs, home runs, all that kind of stuff. And some of them now put WAR and some sabermetrics on there as well. But this is my, again, another question that I'm going to posit to the two of you, because you guys have produced some really great ideas. I think we need to continue that pattern. What
pressure's on.
The pressure,
being serious
the pressure
about our good ideas.
Right. Yes. What other information do you wish was on baseball cards to really represent the 21st century, or just in general that you're curious about? How can we make baseball cards better? That's the question. That's because, again, the Cut Forecast, all we do is strive to improve the world around us. That's really the purpose of this podcast, when you really get to the crux of it. And so that's why I think this is an important question for us to answer.
Is it because from listening the last 2 weeks, I thought it was like a hot Shakespeare takes was the main purpose?
Yeah, there's some Shakespeare takes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. But other than that,
just improving the world of
yeah,
of
we
Shakespeare.
Focus largely on Shakespeare and fixing the world.
And yeah,
two
very important public policy debates that we have here. Yes.
So Gemma, since we started with Ian on the last one, we'll start with you.
I should have thought about it in terms of 21st century improvements.
Yeah, well, you know that it doesn't have to be that. We're talking in general ways of improving baseball cards.
Yeah. Okay. So I had a couple of ideas, and I'm only going to tell you one, unless this idea is terrible.
Okay.
Then I'll tell you many.
I approve of that strategy.
I won't do it.
The Gardner method.
So obviously, facial hair is very important in MLB. We are always interested when people make new decisions. So I'd like a little, I guess it couldn't be a slider. Maybe it could be on the cards that are on your phone, you know? But a little slider of how...
hang on, pause. Digital baseball cards.
Digital baseball cards, which exist, which we know exist.
You have brought it to the
21st
century.
Yes, I've already graduated to that. But this could also be on a cardboard baseball card. It just wouldn't be as fun to play with, I think. But it would be like a little bar that had how a player's facial hair has progressed throughout time. And then you could, if it was on your phone, you could slide it and just change it on their face. And then maybe you could have little packs and put them on other players' faces.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Hairstyles, facial hair. And also because some people, you know, make huge changes. Like Jason Worth's rookie card is not what he looks
point.
Like now. Right. You know? And that could be fun to play around with.
I like that.
I like that, too.
It's like you could, if you wanted to do it in the physical world, you could have like a regular baseball card and then you could have like a overlay. And then you could just trade overlays. And then it could become a whole thing where, like, you know, oh, man, do you have the, you know, Hunter Pence hair? I want to trade that.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I like that.
Good. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, Ian, make baseball cards better. Do it.
Yeah. Let me just handle that for the whole industry.
Great.
Okay. Well, baseball cards have a lot of stats on the back. Those stats are handy for, you know, telling how good a baseball player is relative to other baseball players. But it doesn't really tell me much about how good he is at certain things relative to me.
Oh.
You know, and like there's this whole movement now, like the quantized life. So, you know, people are tracking their steps. They're tracking their calorie counts. Like I want some of that info for my favorite players. You know, I want like average calories consumed per day during the season. I want how many steps they're walking per day. I want like the success rate on entering that little code to unlock your phone. All those things that I struggle with on a daily basis. I want to know how they're doing. Like, are they, you know, are they consuming a ton of food? You know, are they like walking everywhere to stay in shape? These are things that like, I mean, I don't know about myself, but I could if I wanted to. And I kind of want to know about them too.
Okay. What's good about this is that we live in the data age and big data is really controlling everything now. And so that's what's really good about this is that it is, I think, capturing that 21st century essence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you thought way more about that clearly than the two of us did. So
yes.
Kudos.
Congratulations
to really modernizing.
Correctly.
Yes.
You know,
finally won one.
Using the prompts.
Yeah, you won this one. Mine, I will say, is based on an old NBA adage, because we, you know, the finals, summer league adage, but the finals are going on right now in basketball. And so I've been watching that and thinking a bit about it. And I know that in the past, Steve Nash was one of these players who was famous for touches, but not of the basketball, of his teammates. And people, there was like articles written that like he would pat people on the head and on the back and like, and just he was always like, you know, shaking hands and making sure everybody felt good and feeling that kind of energy with everybody. And I think we should track that now that we have StatCast. I think this seems possible. And track that for baseball players, like which baseball players high five the most, which ones hug each other the most, which ones rub Adrian Beltre's head the most, all these things. And so I want to see the stat on the back of the baseball card of touches.
Who do you think is the touchiest player in the league?
Puig.
Puig. Interesting.
I think Puig, because I feel like he's the most exuberant.
He's very friendly.
He is. Yeah, definitely.
He would be.
I mean,
this
could settle a lot of debates.
This would settle
that we have seen on the Cut 4 page.
Totally. Well, and like, you know, people talk about Freddie Freeman as one of the kings of the hug. Braves fans made that very clear. And I feel like this could help solve that debate of like, all right, we now know exactly how many hugs Freddie has delivered in a year. We know how many touches he has.
Would there be a way to qualify how good a hug was?
Probably not on the back of the baseball card. But yes, I do think
complicated,
you know,
formula.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we want people to be able to understand these stats by just glancing at them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do think that would be a good information to have, and more information that StatCast could give us.
I don't know. I mean, you may need, only scouts can quantify hugs.
That's true.
Just when you see it, you know it.
He looks like a good hugger.
You have to watch the game for a long time, Gemma, to know a good hug.
Yeah, he's got the hugger body. Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You can't capture it. You can't. Math doesn't capture.
No number.
Love.
No number.
Oh. Cup forecast slogan. Math doesn't capture love.
It's a great, what a fantastic slogan that we've derived here today. Derived more math jokes. Look at that.
In case we didn't get that one, because we didn't.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. You know, we aren't all math geniuses around here. But I had another one. If you want to hear about it.
Yeah, we want to. We want to hear about it.
Because I didn't want to focus just on stats. I wanted to have something else because I feel like what's good about these baseball cards is you can learn a little bit more about the person mm-hmm. on them. And right now it's just sort of basic, you know, where you went to school, maybe general interests. Sometimes they have interesting stuff in the photos. But what I was thinking could be really interesting, and this is really 21st century thinking right here. So this is like really bringing it in the modern age. Put their most retweeted tweet
Ooh,
on the card.
That's a good one.
And like, I don't even know what they are for most people. I don't know what their most retweeted tweet is. So that would be, I would learn something from it that I couldn't learn by just, you know, Googling or whatever.
I wonder, I feel like that you could just end up with like a link, you know?
What do you mean?
Like it would just be a year, like a URL. That would just be what it was. Or like a picture.
To print out the text. I would like to print out the text.
No. Like I don't want like the people don't understand how like put a tweet. But what if their most retweeted tweet
was just
is like
link?
I like posted a photo on Instagram.
There's a link to a Cut4
post. Well, then
yes, it's obviously
right.
A link to a Cut4
post. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But no, I think you would then put like the Instagram that it was or whatever.
Gotcha.
And like, you know, we would plan this out. This wouldn't be a, you know, Mickey Mouse operation.
It's like a bunch of letters that they put in brackets, like butt tweet.
It very well could be. It very well could be. It could just be something like retweet to win my hat.
Right.
But, you know, we would filter some of that out. So we'd make sure it's like the content
mm-hmm.
that was the most retweeted. And I feel like for the most part, you know, those sort of sort themselves out.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about it is yeah. I could learn a lot from the card.
It's a good idea.
Baseball Reference.
Okay.
MLB.com stats.
One more question to this idea.
Yeah.
Last week, you suggested to all the new players coming in to MLB that they should never tweet.
Well,
so what are they going to have on their cards, Dakota?
Well, okay, but see, that's the rookie players. That's part of what differentiates
okay,
a rookie card.
But what does never mean to you?
To me, it means never. But this is the other thing, is that I know that they are not going to listen to me. I know you're listening now, rookie class of 2015, but I know that you're not going to heed this advice because people don't. I don't even heed my own advice, my own advice.
I've seen Dakota tweet. I've seen him do it.
I know.
So many tweets.
I do as I say, not as I do.
What do you think you got your guys' most retweeted tweets are?
It's probably a frowny face, to be honest. So that's most of what I tweet.
Emoji.
Yeah, or when my sports teams do poorly.
So that would be on your card. That's good.
I think mine probably the same. Something like that would make no sense out of context. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if I've had. I mean, it wouldn't be a high number of retweets anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Yeah, it'd be like three.
Not until you guys all follow me at ENK_.
That's true.
A good plug. That's a really good plug.
Never
that's
step true. Building
Make
your
sure
brand, guys.
Make sure to follow Ian at ENK, 3 letters_. And Gemma, what are you?
At Gemma Kaneko.
Good. Nice. That's... I'm at Dakota Gardner. So one of the three of us did not plan ahead with their Twitter account. I'm not going to name names here. But let's move on to our last of these really important topics. Which cross-sport duos do you imagine are best friends? Now, the reason we thought of this question is that recently David Ortiz and Rob Gronkowski of the New England area released a video where they were rapping about donuts. It was pretty exciting. Well, about coffee.
Coffee.
But, you know, it was a fantastic video, if I do say so myself. David Ortiz had a cup solo in the middle. It was very important.
It was really good.
So I like picturing that they're friends. I just like imagining what they do together, like going out to the movies. But what other professional athletes of baseball players and some other sport do you either picture our friends? Do you hope our friends? Do you know for a fact our friends? We're just going to open it up to all of the above. Gemma, why don't you go first?
Well, I'm pretty sure that we wrote down one of the same things. Okay, we close.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to not say it. I'm going to say my other thing. Which
no, say it.
No, no, no. It's very weird. This is my option. I hope that these two people are friends. And if they're not, I'm sure that they both listen to this podcast.
Yes.
And will then become friends.
Cool.
Hunter Pence mm-hmm. and Johnny Weir.
Oh.
Interesting.
Because Johnny Weir always does amazing things with his hair
yes.
height. It gets very tall. I feel that he could really, you know, help out Hunter Pence with using this new hairstyle that he's got. He could build him some hats.
It's
they
true.
Could hang out together. They could go to events.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think they would have fun together.
That's true.
They could play those dance games that they together. That's what I imagine them doing, really. just playing Let's Dance.
That's true. I've been on the record as saying that I think that Hunter Pence is a very good DDR player.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And
we
I would
assume, we
also
know.
Go out on a limb and say that Johnny Weir
I'm pretty
is an incredible
sure,
well, DDR
player.
Skating experience.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Johnny Weir.
I just think they should hang out. I think they would have a great time together.
Can I tell you my favorite Johnny Weir thing is uh-huh. that he and Tara Lipinski do like all of NBC's sports coverage now. They're like
yes.
every big event. I love that.
I think it's
that's fantastic.
It is.
Me too.
I'm glad that they're there.
It's my favorite thing about NBC.
I think yeah. Hunter would be a great addition to
right?
that team.
I think so too.
Yes.
That was what I was getting
they
at.
They could
is
be
that,
a,
like,
a good trio.
There?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a great.
They do like the fashion critique sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, they
Tyron Johnny?
Largely they do fashion. They'll also just talk about sports.
Right.
Sometimes they do. Mm-hmm.
And that's yes. why like you can have them talking about fashion and then Hunter Pence talking about fashion would be like them talking about sports with this is what this works.
I like kind of remember from the Olympics a lot of them like running around the parking lot doing
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, there's
like
a lot
Hunter
of
could do
there's
that
a lot
too.
Of shenanigans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of shenanigans. They interviewed all the horses before the Kentucky mm-hmm. Derby.
Hunter would do that.
Totally.
He would be into
totally.
And all three of them are great athletes.
Yes.
Which is really important.
Yes.
Deceptively great athletes because it's three things that like people don't necessarily think of as being great athletes, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm happy with this choice.
This is good.
Thank you.
Good job, Gemma.
You know what? Thanks.
okay, Ian, who do you have?
Well, guys, here's what I'm thinking. I don't know these two are friends. I hope they are. I think maybe not
they will
yet,
be.
But in the future they will be.
They will be when they listen.
Okay. Who is the transcendent athlete of our times? Let me answer that for you. It's another rhetorical question. American Pharoah.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
First horse is 1978 to win the Triple Crown.
Yes.
Where does American Pharoah derive his greatness from? It's his legs. He
okay.
ran fast enough to win all three Triple Crown races, an amazing achievement.
Okay.
The power, the speed. What MLB player do we know loves and respects the power of a horse's legs so much that he allegedly produced a portrait of himself with the legs of a horse?
Okay.
None other than Alex Rodriguez.
Okay.
I think Alex and American Pharoah could become great friends.
I appreciate that.
I think they already are friends.
I hope they are.
I think they are.
I hope they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
probably
text
run
all
in,
the time.
Yeah, they run in the same kind of like high social circles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Could
yeah.
be.
Uh-huh. Okay. I like that one.
that's my pairing.
All right. For me, I had many options, but I'm going to.
Shocking.
Yeah. My first thought, I was thinking of Yasiel Puig and Cristiano Ronaldo because we know that they've. hung out
they've interacted.
I have a feeling that's
yes.
the one that you also
I was actually I picked
of.
A different soccer player
who'd
but
you pick?
Well this is why I thought you would pick it actually because he plays for Liverpool
Mario Balotelli
it's Mario Balotelli
I thought of that as well but then I discarded that and I said no not that and then I thought well maybe you know sticking with the NBA finals theme what about Cleveland's Nick Swisher and Cleveland's hero of the moment, Matthew Dellavedova, they seem like they would get out and like hang out, have a good time. But then I thought, no, not that either. That's too simple. It's too straightforward. And I realized the actual perfect pairing of MLB player and I'm sticking with the NBA here, NBA player who should be friends, who probably are already friends, who go out to dinner often. I'm talking about Ichiro and fellow Miami athlete, Chris Bosh.
Wow.
Because they're both somewhat introspective athletes. They both are incredibly intelligent. They're both incredibly good at what they do. They've been good for a long time. And they have that sort of like, you know, different athletic personality than what we're used to. You know, and I feel like they would get along and they would appreciate each other and their sort of highbrow look at life.
What language would they speak?
They would speak English. Ichiro knows
Ichiro speaks English.
Yeah, he's a little. He's a little cagey. He's a little cagey about the English sometimes. I've seen.
Well, yeah, that's true. But like, you know, if you're just hanging out, it's okay to have.
I guess.
You know, it's not.
Best friend language. You know?
That's true.
The only language you need.
They just get each other. That's the other thing.
Did you guys not do that with your best friends when you just like had a best friend language? No, okay, that's cool.
Dig into this a little deeper, Gemma?
Gemma, what do you mean, best friend language?
You never had like code words or like you made up some fake words that only you and your best friends.
Like what? Why don't you give us an example?
You can call my two best friends from childhood. I'm sure that they would remember.
And what words?
We mostly just had code name. Like we just use other English words to represent things.
Okay.
So we
had
this whole code.
Like what?
I don't want to say anything.
Like the Enigma code.
Like is it like is it?
Yeah, you need to be Alan Turing to crack the code that we had to talk about.
Were you doing this to talk negatively about?
No. It was when we were at summer camp and we were kids and
they didn't want anyone to know how much they were complimenting them.
All of the summer camp counselors had like this crazy romantic drama going on all the time because they were summer camp counselors. We were 10 and we thought it was hilarious, but it was very questionable that all of these camp counselors would like tell us what was going on. So we wanted to gossip about it, but we didn't want the other camp counselors to know that we were gossiping about their dates.
Okay.
That we knew about. So we made up code names.
Give me one code name.
Oh, I feel so bad about this one now.
Just one. You don't need to say who it was.
Okay. Well, one of them was Beach Bunny.
Okay.
Another one was Dire Rabbit.
Okay. Were they all rabbit themed names?
No, but those are the two that are coming to me right now.
Okay, well.
Another one was Greg, but it was for a female counselor.
Oh.
Because her last name was Brady.
Okay.
Wow. Like Greg Brady.
It's like a British joke there.
It was terrible. Degree, yeah. It's terrible.
It is, yeah, it's like Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah. It was. Okay. Anyway, I'm assuming that Ichiro and Chris Bosch will make up a code.
But good enough.
They can communicate.
They'll be communicating just Miami's, yeah, and code names for one another.
Only Pitbull lyrics.
Yes. Well, that's how I communicate with most of my friends as well. You know what, guys? I just want to say this. Thank you both for having this conversation with me. And I appreciated it.
Oh,
and I had a good time.
I forgot about this completely.
And all of that. No, grab his notebook.
I don't have a pen. Okay. I have no pen.
Now is the time where we recap the entire podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that sums up everything that we have talked about today. It can include maybe people's trips to the Hamptons. It can include maybe code words that others use to refer to other people. However you want to do it, the world is your oyster with this tweet. And Ian, we're going to start with you. How are you going to sum up this entire podcast into one tweet?
How am I going to sum up the entire podcast into a tweet?
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's see.
That's another rhetorical question.
Which walk-up song does Alex Rodriguez use while riding American Pharoah to the mound to relieve a starting pitcher? Gimme Shelter every time.
That's good. That's a good one. I will retweet that. That
would
is a good
retweet.
One.
Yes.
That's really good.
Definitely.
Okay, Gemma, what do you have?
In keeping with my general theme of positivity today, I'm going to say make a baseball card themed mixtape for your MLB best friend.
Oh.
Hashtag I'm so jealous about the Hamptons.
Guys.
At ENK_.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I know. We're all jealous of Mr. K's trip to the Hamptons.
Yeah.
I've sat on a train for like 3 hours.
Whatever. Oh, ooh. Oh, I have to go to the Hamptons. Oh,
I'm gonna,
no.
Like,
my
lie
life
by
is
the
so
pool.
Hard. Okay. Mine is going to be Ichiro and Chris Bosch come up with challenge music for their baseball cards.
Wow. This is
hashtag rhetorical question. Oh my gosh, guys.
No,
this is not going to be the tweet that appears on Dakota's
really
baseball
bad
card.
I hope it is.
But it's going to be like shame. They're going to put it on there as like a shame.
Yeah.
Brackets butt tweet.
That one goes to the drafts and then gets deleted. That was bad. I've had bad luck with these tweets. I need to break
is
out
it luck?
I need to break out of my tweet slump. This is bad.
Should there be a stat for how good you are at Twitter?
There would be zero right now. But if you're listening, if you have a tweet that could better recap this podcast than me, which again, you absolutely do. So this should encourage you to tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the best ones. We will favorite the slightly less good ones. And we will ignore the not great ones, which will include mine. But if yours are better, please tweet them at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. You can read more content from Cut4 at MLB.com/Cut4. And you can find this podcast on iTunes or wherever podcasts are sold. And please make sure to subscribe there. And if you liked it, you can rate and review us. We'll maybe read some of the best reviews on the podcast. I think that would be fun.
I think so.
Agreed.
We'll appreciate it as well. And, you know, thank you so much for listening. We do this every week, and we have a good time. We really like sharing with you what we're talking about. And we hope to hear from you as well, because we thank you so much for taking the time out to listen to us. And I think that's all the time we have for this week. Ian, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dakota.
Enjoy the Hamptons. Gemma.
I'll see you in this building, not at the Hamptons.
Yeah, we'll be here.
We'll be here.
And thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.